This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning we'll be discussing the topic, Seeing as God Sees. Seeing as God Sees. I was fortunate enough to be in the office of a vice chancellor some years back. And right in his office, he has this 3D image, architectural design image of how the school was leading or governing would look. But on the surface, in reality, at that time, the school had only maybe 15 to 20 buildings. Some of them were old because this particular school was once a teacher training college that went defunct. And they've now converted it to a university. So he had a 3D image on his table where the picture of how that school would look like in the nearest future was placed. And every time I go to his office, I will look at that image and then I will shake my head because I was a student at the time and we were staying in a hostel called UPA1, and the hostel was not even part of the plant. There was even no room. They had to quickly build those hostels where students gained admission, and they were trying to hustle up to make sure that they could accommodate as many students as possible at the time. However, within 5 years, one by one, as they began to build, they replaced the empty spaces and the vast land with those buildings which they built one at a time. That university will be maybe 15 to 20 years old now. And if any of us would go there, you would see the picture that was in the 3D images had already been built. What was there before was considered as nothing. It wasn't the plan. Let me say that again. Of course, structures were on that land. Of course, there were trees, there were farmlands, there was a river. Natural structures were there. Artificial structures were also there. There were even some structures that they had to erect to accommodate staff, non-academic staff, to accommodate the laborers. There were so many structures, but they were not the permanent structures. They were the artificial structures. The permanent structures were the ones that had been carefully designed and placed before the vice chancellor, which was seen every day while he was planning and working towards removing the artificial features and pictures and structures and replacing them with the permanent one which fits into the plan for the school. As time went on and as the Lord increased me in age and time, I'd come to sit also with an architect who showed me the plan of a house. When I went to the land, I saw just land. I saw trees, I saw plants, I saw grasses, I saw a river close by. And I was there and he told me, oh, this is the plot of land where you can build your house. That was what I saw when I got there. I saw land. Then I called an architect. I said, oh, I have a plot of land somewhere. Would you please help me come up with a structure for the land? And the architect came up with this structure. He put it on paper. He brought it to me. I sat with him and he showed me, oh, this is where this room will be. This will be the master bedroom. Do you want a jacuzzi inside the bathroom or you don't want a jacuzzi? Do you want this? Okay, this is this. This is the guest room. This is the sitting room. This is the dining area. Everything was on paper. Of course, on that land at the time, there were things. But in the eyes of the architect, they were nothing. Why? Because they were not part of the original plan. They just existed because nature abhors a vacuum. They were there because nature abhors a vacuum. So they were just occupying space, but they had no legal right to be there because they were not part of the original plan. See? And so I spoke with the architects, they got builders, they got on the land, and within a year, the original plan, which was the house I wanted to build, was standing. And all the placeholders that were there before had been rooted out and they were no longer in existence. When God spoke to Moses and he said to him, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. If you look at the situation of Moses at the time, Moses was at a disadvantage. He had no army, he had nothing but himself. And of course, there was a grudge against him by the whole land of Egypt. But God showed him a vision. God showed him a vision. God said, hey, the original plan was not for the Israelites to be slaves. The original plan was for them to serve Egypt for 400 years. And after that, I have promised Abraham that I'm going to bring them out with the strong hand. So it is time to get them free. And so you must see things from my perspective. They were not a tribe of slaves. They were a tribe that I had called my own people and that I want to bring out of slavery. So Moses bought into God's vision, went to Pharaoh. Of course, just like when you want to remove the trees from your land, you want to remove the grass, you want to do some sand filling, you want to do some what they call the laying out, the setting out when they want to build, there will be some resistance. You have to get people to come and dig, you have to get somebody to come and clear the grass, you have to get those who would uproot the trees, you have to pay some money, there has to be some sweat in order to get the placeholders to leave. They won't just walk away. You would labor. So Moses went and labored. Moses was like, no. And Pharaoh was like, no, I'm going to be stubborn. And Moses was like, no, you can't be stubborn. And they had a tussle. At the end of the day, what God saw was what happened. God said, you bring them to this mountain where they would worship me. And Moses brought the children of Israel to that mountain. And then from that mountain, God said, you have stayed on this mountain for too long. It's time to go to the promised land. And Moses led them towards the promised land. He didn't quite lead them into the promised land, but they got as close to Jordan as he could before Joshua took over. My admonition today to us is that we should learn to see things the way God sees them. We should learn not to see the difficulties that our eyes are beholding. If God says to you, I have predetermined that you are going to be X, Y, Z, and you sit down, you analyze it with your brain, you tell yourself, how can these things be? You know, for example, when God told David that he was the king of Israel at the age of 17. Moses must have sat down and thought of it, or David rather, must have sat down and thought of it. How do I become king? And from the tribe of Judah, they had a king, a young king on the throne. As at when David was anointed king, Saul just spent a few years, maybe about 13 years on the throne, as at when David was made king. And Saul became a king at a young age. So if you look at it biologically, Saul was going to live and die on that throne. So David would say to himself, how can these things be? They are not even calling me the future king. They are calling me king now. They are saying, I am the king right now at this moment. How does that make any sense? But God had spoken. All David had to do was see it and then align himself with it. Knowing that, of course, there will be some resistance from the grass, from the trees, but the picture of God is the picture that all of us who are believers have to align with. Yeah, let me put it this way. So when we began the year 2025 with fasting and prayer, which is not a bad idea, but some, they were fasting to make God do something for them. They are fasting to force the hand of God. It's like when somebody is in a city and decides to build a cardboard house or a shanty in a place that was already planned for. Many of us see this in the news consistently, how the government will now tell people that it is time for us to build the building that was originally planned on this land. And then the people will now start crying, and then they'll come on TV, and then they will say, we've been living here for 15 years. We've been sleeping in this shanty for 10 years. And now they want to chase us away. Help us. And everybody will say, oh, you are not part of the plan. You are placeholders. You are just crying for sympathy. You are crying for emotional, whatever now. But this place wasn't meant to be a shanty. That was a plan. The fact that you are occupying a place for 10 years, for 20 years, does not make you the valid owner of the place. You don't have documents to prove that you can stay here. You are not part of the original plan. So when the original plan of God is going to come, you have to give way. You see, some of us, maybe last 2 years or last year, we were talking about some buildings that were on the waterways in Lekki area in Lagos. And some people had actually built buildings, not shanties. They had built duplexes. They had built maisonettes. They had built a lot of fancy houses on that area, buying lands that they didn't verify, that are not part of the original plan of the state, and then claiming to be owners of buildings. And then one day the government woke up and they had the commissioner, and the commissioner, just imagine one human being. All that was he had in his hand was the original plan. He just said, okay, there was a plan. We are going to go by this plan. Anybody that has built, even if you have built a $1 billion structure, a $1 trillion structure, even if you've built a business, no matter what you've built here, as long as it is not part of the plan, it is going. Now, of course, people went to TV, they shouted, they screamed the way Pharaoh was screaming and shouting, no, I will not let your people go. No, they will serve me. Moses, stop it. You are disturbing my peace. Moses, please, please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. How can we resolve this amicably, Moses? Come, let's talk as brothers. Sit down. Sit down. Come and sit down. No, don't sit down, Moses. Yeah, you are a leader. I'm a leader. Is there a way We can settle this amicably so that Moses will say, no, this is the original plan of God. This is the plan. God has a plan. There is no need to try and settle it amicably. All you have to do is yield to the plan of God. And Pharaoh resisted, but Pharaoh yielded. Saul resisted the plan of God. When Saul found out David was meant to be king after him, Saul did everything to kill David. Because Saul had his own plan. He wanted to establish a dynasty in which after him, his children will rule and their grandchildren will rule after them. And he will become the official royal house of Israel. But Samuel had told him that the kingdom had been taken away from him. And that it has been given to another. And David was the one it was given to. So David now, even though he had no structure, he had no name to himself, he was just a ruddy boy. David now had the plan of God on his side. And as a result of that, even though he had no physical anything, the plan determined David's future. We see how easy that is. Yeah. So when God tells me something, for example, God says to me, this is my plan for so and so. I do not bother to look at it from, it will be tough. The current governor will not accept it. it will be difficult. There are many adversaries. I do not see it that way. The picture, how I see things, is very simple. God has told me his plan. And even though there are people or others that have their agendas, we all know that the plan of God is what is going to come to pass. All the plan of God needs is a champion, is somebody that would carry that plan upon himself and establish it on the earth. That's all. When God's plan is in motion, everything aligns with it. So I said earlier that some people start fasting, and when they fast, they try to say in their mind, they are thinking, they want to make God do stuff. If that thing you're asking God to do is not part of his plan, it's like asking God to build a shanty in Magodo. Say, God, please, I just want you to give me one shop in Admiralty on the water. And God is saying, no, that's not part of the plan. Just do it. I will fast for 21 days so that you will do it for me. Of course, you know that God wouldn't, because you fasted and prayed, God wouldn't then sabotage his own plan. It's like somebody now waking up to say, I want to fast for 100 days that Jesus will not return. I will beg God. I will pray. I will say, Lord, we like the world the way it is. Jesus, please don't come back. That will be my prayer point. 100 days dry fasting. Of course, you know that person, the prayer, the motive behind it does not fit with the plan of God. So that kind of prayer cannot be answered. Yeah? Okay, I think you get it. And then it's like somebody praying and saying, I want to be, God has spoken. God said, this is my will. And the person is saying, I want to change God's will. I want God to do things my way. So in order for God to do things my way, I will starve myself of food. It's like, I remember when I took my daughter to school for the first time. You know, I wanted to introduce her to that school because she has to get an education. But I knew she was very attached to me when she was growing up because I was always with her. So whenever I go to the school to pick up the older brothers, I will take her along. When we get there, I'll put her on the swing in the school while I'll be waiting for the brothers to come out of the classroom. She would go to the swing. She would play with all the goody-goodies outside. So she got used to it. Every day when it's like 2:30, she'll say, Daddy, school. I say, okay, we'll put her in the car. We'll drive there. She'll come down. She'll go and play. And then one day, I said, the teacher came to me and said, oh, she's ready for school. Can we register her? And I said, oh, do you want to be registered? She said, yes. I said, okay. So I took her there, they registered her. She wasn't aware of what she was doing. I was already the master plan. I knew what was going to happen on the day she would resume school, but she didn't know. So they gave her uniform, they gave her everything. So they said she's starting Monday. Then Monday came. Early in the morning, I woke her up, everybody dressed up. She dressed up. She was almost 3 because she had some challenges when she was quite young. So she was a late starter. And then she dressed up. And then we got to the school. The brothers came down. And then it was time for her to come down from the car. And she said, no, I'm not coming down. And I was like, no, you have to come down. You are now a student. You are now a pupil in a school. I was like, no, I'm not a pupil. You are now a pupil. You have to go to school now. And then, of course, the tears started. Now, no amount of fasting and prayer that she could do will stop her from going to school that day. Of course, the next day, she pretended as if she was sick so that she would not go to school. And I was patient with her. I didn't force her. But by day 3, when she went back, by day 4, she was not doing her homework by herself. By day 5, she had forgotten that she threw tantrums. She was used to school because that was the plan. You see, and then she, in her own way, was thinking, oh, it's better to stay home with daddy. No, it's better you go to school. So God has a plan. Yeah? Okay. And so every Christian must establish the fact that there is a plan of God. This plan has been well vetted, thoroughly thought through, well established. You cannot do anything to change it. It is the truth. There is a plan of God, 100%. You can do nothing. Nobody can stop Jesus from coming when he came through Mary. Nobody will stop him when he's coming again. Nobody. There is no prayer, no fasting, no international prayer. If you do, fill the stadiums and say whatever. When God's time is at work, every other thing must align with it. So the best position for the Christian to take is what? Is alignment. Find out what the plan of God is. So when I pray and when I fast, I never do so with the intention of making God do something I want. I think it is manipulative. And many Christians, especially in Africa, they didn't get the plan, the idea behind praying and fasting. I think the best thing to do is so that you can be in tune with God's plan, that you may behold that which God wanted to do, and you may know where you fit into that plan, where the agenda of God, where your part in the plan, the part he wants you to play there, that you may know it. That's why we fast. So when we plan, when we fast and pray, we use that to sharpen our vision. We use that to align our thinking and focus, and then to take out of God's big plan and then realize our role in it, and then begin to work towards the fulfillment of that role. When we do that, we will not only have aligned with God's plan, we will be able to run with God's plan. And that, for me, is where faith is, what faith is. So a lot of time people talk about faith. Oh, I have the faith to move mountain. Say, okay, if your faith is going to move mountain against God's will, your faith is nothing. God will not move any mountain against his own will. You cannot have faith. Oh, my faith can move mountain. And then your faith will say that the church of Jesus will not move forward. Well, I have faith that the church of Jesus will not prosper. Your faith is nothing. So you can have faith anyway. But if your faith is not in line with the agenda of God, that is rubbish faith. It will not work. But if you know the plan of God, so Moses did not need to fight too much. He knew the plan of God. All he was doing was championing the plan of God. You see, David did not need to struggle too much. He knew the plan of God. He so knew the plan of God that when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, he refused to. He said, no, 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 no. That's not the plan. The plan was not for me to kill Saul in order to become king. The plan was for God to make me king without shedding the blood of the previous king. He understood the plan. So even when he had the opportunity to shortcut it, he didn't take it. When the devil came to Jesus to tempt him and said, I will give you the kingdom, Jesus said, get thee behind me. Jesus knew the plan. You see, those who knew the plan, they don't get distracted easily. They focus on it because they have an assurance that they are with the right plan. So when you know you are with the right plan, it's good. If I have CFO of a building, and then they are demolishing the houses of other people, if they get close to my house, they say, present your papers, I bring it out. Oh, they say, oh, you are part of the plan. They walk away. You know, I've seen Christians before that when they are driving, they don't have driver's license. When they see police checkpoint, they begin to speak in tongues. Shakata pada pada. Jigidigidigidigidi. And then they come to church on Sunday to share the testimony. They say, ah, I didn't have my driver's license. The police were about to catch me. I spoke in tongues. I told one man one day, I said, do not share this kind of testimony ever again. This is not any testimony that glorifies God. This is testimony of poor slaves who do not have the mindset of fulfilling the plan of God. A good Christian must have all these documents. When you get to checkpoints, you will wind down, you will greet them properly, you will present your papers, and then you will drive away. That is how to be a Christian. A Christian is not somebody that is against, contrary to the will of God, and you are not speaking in tongues, oh, so that they will not catch you. No, they should catch you. They should catch you. That is the truth. It's not the plan of God for you to go against the law and then to be saying God should support you, God should be the aid and abet you in destroying or in failing to fulfill the dictates of the laws of the land. So again, you must see as God sees. What is God's plan? And what is the plan of God for you? This is how the Christian's life is lived easily and without stress. So that you will not run another man's race. So that you will not have fasted and prayed over things that are not yours. Asking, ah, God, I want to relocate, when there is no plan of God for your relocation. Or asking, God, I want a green card, when it is not the plan of God for you to stay there. Oh God, yeah, I want to be general manager, when it's the plan of God for you to move. You have to know God. It is important that every one of us would align with the plan of God. That way our path will be smooth, our journey will be off without much struggle, and we would get consistent results. Preaching the gospel is God's plan. Those who preach it prospers. It is as simple as ABC. It doesn't matter. There are some general plans that once you get into it, you prosper. Why? Because the gospel is supposed to spread to all the ends of the earth from generation to generation. And it is men, you and I, that spread the gospel, that preach it. Angels do not preach the gospel. It is the purview of the sons of men. So God continues to recruit men into that service, and we do it every day. Healing the sick is part of the general plan. Doing signs and wonders is part of the general plan. Getting inspired to minister at every capacity is part of the general plan. And then when you begin to work with the general plan, you begin to see within yourself the attributes of the main plan. You begin to see, oh, my heart longs that people will hear the right gospel. My heart longs that people would have shelter over their head. My heart longs that people that are hungry will be fed. Then you begin to see yourself drawn into certain aspects of ministry where it will then be part of the specific plan of God for you. That, with this passion I have and my heart, God is telling me that I should start an NGO. God is telling me. And then you begin to see the fulfillment of the dream of God, the plan of God for you, that is the specific plan of God for you as a person, being fulfilled in the general plan of God for the church, which is expanding. Then you realize, oh my God, no wonder I have this passion for children. I didn't know God is leading me to write children book that will go viral and go global and all that. Then you begin to learn, you see, you begin to learn that in fulfilling the general plan of God, the specific plan of God for you is there. So then you begin to walk in line with that, and all things will work together for your good. You know what God told Paul on the road to Damascus? God said, it is foolish of you to kick against the gods. What does that mean? Any man that is fasting and praying against the will of God is foolishness. Saul was doing that with all his energy. God told him, this is foolishness. You cannot be fasting and praying against me. If you are going to make it in life, you have to fast and pray in line with me, so that your decision and your joy and your passion is aligned with mine to fulfill greater works. I pray for you today that as you go to your first church, either online or in a physical church, that you will walk in sync with the plan of God, that you will not walk against God in any way, and you will not set yourself against the plan of God or the motion of God in any way. Thank you, Father, because you've answered our prayers, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.